Blog Talk Radio.
If I had the pleasure of bringing out Christ, this is just how I would do it. It ain't got to be the way you do it. You might not think it's just right, but this is how I would do it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce a man who needs no introduction. His credits are too long to list. He has done the impossible time after time. He hails out of a manger in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, by way of heaven. His mother is still headlining in the Catholic Church today. His daddy is the author of a book that has been on the bestseller list since the beginning of time. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He fed 5,000 hungry souls with 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. He can walk on water, turn water into wine. No special effects, no camera tricks. He has a headshot on every church fan across the country. Even before the kings of comedy, he was hailed the king of all kings, ruler of the universe, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star. Some say he's the rose of Sharon, and some say he's the prince of peace. Get up on your feet.
Hallelujah.
Put your hands together.
Yes.
And show your love for the second coming of the one and only.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Welcome, welcome to Rise and Grind for Jesus. Amen. Glory to God, where the saints come to fellowship one with another, where we can freely praise the Lord. We can freely shout. We can freely say how glad that the Lord, what the Lord has done for us. Amen. On this day. And if, excuse me. And if you're not saved, you can still come in and join with us. Amen. Because we are all God's children. Amen. I am your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. And we want to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. Glory to his name. Because without him, there would be no me. Amen. Glory to God. So, Father God, here we are in your place of worship, Father, just giving you holy hands, saying thank you for what you've done already on today. And Father God, we just ask you to continue to have your way in our lives. Do as you see fit, Father. Shut every door that you want shut and open every door that you want open, Father. Show us the way, Father, and we shall follow you. Father, we ask you to bless those that are sick and suffering on today, not only in a physical addiction, Father, but in a spiritual addiction, Father. So those, the spirits are just broken down, Father. The spirit is just withdrawn. The enemy is just trying to beat them down. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus to inject them, Father, with the spirit of love, right? Only that you can do, God. And we thank you in advance, Father God, for all that you have already done. And we thank you and we glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Before I start our show, I would like to also give a special shout out for all the soldiers, all the vets who have served in any branch of military. I don't care what country, what state, what universe, what planet you're on. We just want to thank you on this day for all your services and all that you have done to keep each and every country safe. And we just thank you. And we ask the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to continue to give you peace and guidance wherever you may be at, you as well as your families. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope everyone, please get your Bibles, get your tablets, your notebooks, pens, paper, highlighters, markers. We're going to start our, because it's the end of the month, it is the last weekend of the month, we're going to start our series, and the series, it will be titled, Praying Will Keep You From Straying. Praying will keep you from straying. Amen. Glory to God. We have some scriptures. We have some information. We have some notes, and all of it is of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We want you to understand that prayer is a request to God. Because when we are faced with big or even small challenges, the secret of cultivating reliances and the ability to bounce back is through focusing on how awesome God is, spending time with God. When I speak of praying, I mean standing in the gap for someone else in prayer, praying for direction in your life as well as others. And if you don't know how to pray, ask God to help you develop a prayer life. Ask God to send someone around you to help you develop a prayer life. Get in a church where you know part of the foundation is prayer. Amen. And if you can't even do that, get your Bible and pray the scriptures. Start praying the scriptures. Amen. Glory to God. Pray the scriptures. And if nothing else, if you do nothing else, pray to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Glory to God. I'm going to read a scripture, and then we're going to dig right into our lesson. Amen. I'm going to read a scripture, and we're going to go right into our lesson. The scripture I'm going to read is from the book of John, chapter 17. I'm going to start at verse 1. Amen. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Hallelujah. I'm going to go keep on going. I'm going all the way to the bottom. Start at verse 6 again. I have manifested your name to men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given them, I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those who you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the Son of prediction, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. The world has hated them. Hear that, y'all. The world has hated them because they are not of the world. Just as I am not of the world, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Hallelujah. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Pray on, Jesus. What was the last prayer that you have made? You prayed for yourself, but what was the prayer? Have you prayed for someone else? Have you interceded for someone else? Have you spent time to pray for your family, your friends, your loved ones, your boss, your people on your job, strangers that you don't know, people that you see every day in the street that might be lost, that might be in a place that seems like what the world call out of order or disturbance or even a reprobate mind? Do you pray to God for the releasing of the bonds that Satan might have on his people? Because we're in the world, but not of the world. And it's our job, as we see, to pray those things, those people. Just like Jesus, God gave Jesus these disciples particular people, he's given us all particular people to pray for, to minister to raise up, to minister and teach them the word of God. Teach them how to pray, how to fast. Teach them about the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. These things, we have to get into a place of prayer. Remember, prayer is just a request to God. You're going to the Lord requesting. And we're going to talk about a few different kinds of prayer on tonight. Amen. And the first one I really want to talk about is in the book of Acts. I want to talk about family prayer. And I know once I get here, it's going to read a certain way, and it's going to seem like, well, I'll read it first, and then I'll elaborate on what I'm trying to say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The book of Acts, chapter 10. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help me. I got you. Thank you, Jesus. Chapter 10. Hallelujah. We're going to start at verse 2. Start at verse 1. Cornelius, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. He gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always about the ninth hour of the day. He picked a specific time. He picked a specific place. There's a place in your home. There should be a place at your job. There should be a place in your car. Wherever you go, you should have a place where it is purified, it is holy, with no interruptions, no distractions. It is a place where God visits you. It's a place, you know, the minute you walk in, you're walked into the presence of God. Amen. If we go over to verse 30, Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. Now, I had added this in because it's a scripture says some things only come through what? And fasting. Cornelius said, what? 4 days ago, I was fasting. Until when? This hour. And at the ninth hour, that was the ninth hour when he started praying. If we go back over to verse 2, the ninth hour is when he started praying. Amen. So he fasted and then he started praying. I prayed in where? My house. And behold, a man stood before me in the bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. And that's where it counts. When we give something over to the Lord, when we're obedient and our prayer life is genuine and sincere from the heart, we will hear from the Lord. No matter, listen, don't worry about what people may think about you. Oh, you spend too much time praying. How come you always praying? Because what they don't know, if some of the time the prayers that you're sending and the petitions that you're sending before the Lord is even keeping them. But they don't know that. You know, they don't see it that way. They don't understand that you're standing in a gap. You're fasting and sacrificing for them. And that's when I said about family. Some of us have family members that we know are either saved and in a backslidden position, saved and not living right, not saved, don't know Christ. That should be a part of our daily prayer life. Be it brother, sister, cousin, uncle, aunt, germ, that should be a part of our daily prayer life. Hallelujah. That should be a part of our prayer life. It says, therefore, in the sight of God, send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Obedience, follow instructions. If we're going to God and we're giving God petitions and we're asking God for specifics and we're praying, we have to follow the instructions. Don't worry about how it comes. Don't worry about how the message comes. You know what you prayed for. You feel the presence of the Lord. You know when God is responding to your prayer if you spend time with God. See, you got to better feel that spirit of the Lord. You have to know when his presence is there to understand when the messenger comes to give you instruction. The messenger may even come and say, don't worry about it. She is healed. You might have a daughter, a nephew, somebody in the hospital. Don't worry about it. It is already done. Keep on doing what you're doing. That is letting you know that God has heard your petition. He has sent the angel to tell you it's going to be all right. There's no need to be worrying. There's no need to be calling up 6 different bishops, 13 different pastors, and even a tarot lady trying to see if it went through. Because if you trust and believe in God with your prayer life, it is going to manifest itself. His presence will come. Amen. We have to. Oh, man, there's some, go with me to the book of Matthew, because I want to say something. I like to be there when I say it. There's some prayers, amen, that we have to do in secret. There's just some prayers that have to be done in secret. It's not for the world, it's not for in the sanctuary. It is between you and the Lord. And if it is in the sanctuary, if it is, let it come from your heart. But when you're praying pure prayers, genuine prayers, you have to be somewhere where you know that is a place where God meets you, because there's going to be tears and crying and yelling and hollering and screaming. You're going to pour out your soul and your spirit and your mind and your body. You want the God to know that this is so sincere. This means so much to me. I really want you to hear this prayer. Lord, I'm giving my all to you. I'm giving you my sweat, my tears, throwing myself on the altar before you, Lord. People of God, please get you a place of prayer, a holy place, a place of refuge just for you, God, and his angels to come visit you. Make that place so holy. Spend so much time in it that if anybody even entered, they know there's a difference and a change come upon them immediately. Hallelujah. Chapter 6, verse 6 in the book of Matthew. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. You ever see somebody and you're always wondering why things are just, they're either being blessed or they'll get healed if they're sick, or things just always seem to be manifesting around them. The presence of God is always moving in their life because they did these things in secret. They went in their prayer room and shut the door and talked to God in secret. He rewards them openly because they follow the instructions that he has given us. You, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, see, they say when you go in your room and when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. He's already there, who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret, he sees. He sees your tears. He sees your snot nose. He sees your pain. He sees your suffering. He sees your sacrifice. He sees your faithfulness. He knows that you're genuine. He will reward you openly. And when you pray, you don't have to use all these big words and these repetitions as the heathen do, because they think that they will be heard for their many words. Be sincere. Say what's in your spirit. Say what's in your heart. Say what's on your mind. That is your Father. He is not going to judge you. He's going to respect you for the honesty. He's going to respect you for the sincerity. He's going to respect you because you came to him in a place where he told you to meet him at. So you're following instruction. You trust him enough to go there. God said and asked, and how he said and asked us to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, I thank you. Yes, I thank you so much. Like I said, we have scriptures tonight. During this series, we will have scriptures during this time of this radio show. Believe me, we will have scriptures. Please come prepared. Please write it down. Write this information down, because it's not just something that I am just saying or I am just speaking. I do spend time before the Lord to get instruction on what to say. I cannot go and be successful in serving the Lord if I'm not in his presence, if I'm not hearing from him the way and being obedient to what he says for me to do. Amen. Hallelujah. The book of Daniel, chapter 4, verse 34. I'll read it. I'll give you some time to get there with me. The book of Daniel. Amen. We have to get back to not only serving the Lord and trusting and believing in him when we pray. We not only have to have those family prayers and secret prayers, but we have to remember to have that prayer of adoration unto God. Add in your worship with your prayer. Add your worship with your prayer. Add your worship with your prayer. Oh, Father, how I love thee. Oh, Father, how I respect thee. Oh, how I need you. Oh, how I adore you. Oh, Father God, here I am your son. This old has not been living or not been doing. I am your daughter crying out, Father God, because my love for you is so sincere, and I do not want to walk out of your presence, and I do not want to be out of your will. So here I am, Father, today coming to you because it's a bad day and I need you to make it better, but I give you praise even if it doesn't get better. Hallelujah. And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned to me. Now see, I might have to go up a little bit for you to get that part. That's the part that took me down. And said, thank you, Lord, because my understanding came back to me. I want to start at maybe, oh, God, verse 28. And we're going to try to get this together so we can put it together so we can get the full understanding of his adoration and his wisdom and his humility. Amen. All this time, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the words were still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses." That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of his heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. He took, God has blessed him beyond measure. God has gave him anything and everything that he needed, desired, and wanted, and then some. And like some of us, when God starts blessing, we get prideful and big-headed, and some of us show off to other people. Some of us put other people down. Some of us start thinking we're better than everybody. Some of us start saying, I did, and we forget God. Oh, but in verse 34, now remember, his hair, he said his body was so wet with the dew. Now, this is the dew from heaven. This ain't the dew that's down here. The dew from heaven to his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. Ooh. But in verse 34, "And at the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is as everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitations of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, 'What have you done?' Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And at the same time, my reasons return to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and splendor return to me. My counselors and noble resorted to me. I was restored to my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt King of heaven, all of whose works are truth and his ways justice, and those who walk in pride, he is able to put down." You see, when wisdom, when we got to be so careful, we have to be so careful when we start doing things and thinking we are mightier. Because the very fact that God gave the dream to Nebuchadnezzar as a warning shows his mercy. Because he didn't have to do that. He could have just did anything he wanted. He gave him a dream as a warning. Get yourself together. Remember who put you in this place. Remember who I am and remember who you are. I am your creator. You're not mine. I am your overseer. You're not mine. I am your father. You are not mine. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the truth, the way, and the night. Not you. But he showed mercy. Even so, Nebuchadnezzar would not break off his sins and acknowledge that the Most High rules. Oh, but when it got down to 34, Nebuchadnezzar had been reminded of the source of his success. And if you go with me, same book of Daniel, and go with me just a page over to chapter 2, amen, and to verse 37. I'll read it if you can't get there in time. You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heavens has given you kingdom, power, strength, and glory. We didn't do that on our own. We don't have our health and strength on our own. We don't have the wealth, the riches, the wisdom, the knowledge, and understanding on our own. On a daily basis, our prayers, we should be thankful. In our prayer life, we should be thankful. We should be admiring and sending praise of or adoration unto God on a daily basis. Thank you for my leadership skills. Thank you for raising me up and not letting me die. Thank you for keeping me out of the cemetery. Thank you for keeping me out of the hell pit. Thank you for keeping me out of the penitentiary. Thank you for not making me a prostitute. Thank you. And if that was your path and it is not, thank you for bringing me out of. Thank you for bringing me out of. Thank you for bringing me out of. Thank you for not letting the enemy destroy me. Thank you for not letting the enemy have my mind. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you on a daily, the minute your eyes open. Thank you, Father, for letting my eyes open and my feet hit the floor. And my eyes open, my feet hit the floor, my neck hurt, my back may be sore, but I still give you praise. Because you didn't have to. Listen, let's remember in our prayer life how to get down to the get down with Jesus. When we pray and get down there on our knees, or if you lay prostrate, when you down there, don't worry about who's listening. Don't worry about who think you taking too long. Don't worry about that. That's between you and God. Our prayer life is so important to us. It is so into us. For you have to remember who gave you the kingdom. Even now, wherever you may be, you have to remember who gave you your kingdom, because your house is your castle. Your apartment is your castle. Your room is your castle. Wherever you may be at, that's your kingdom. If you have a ministry, those are your subjects. If you're fortunate enough to have maids and butlers, your servants, but you have to treat them with love. The thing is, you be thankful for God for making a way that you don't really have to do it. Because most of the time when God frees us up with servants, it's to free us up so we can fast, so we can pray, so we can study, so we can get ready to go out and do the work into the wilderness, into the deep forest, into the deep nations, into the dark places, into the rivers and the oceans and the lakes and the bridges and the mountains and the seas and everywhere. So a lot of times, when God frees us up, it don't mean for us to take a vacation. Free us up to study. Free us up to fast. Free us up to pray without ceasing. Intercession prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. But his own words of betray, his overwhelming pride, is not this great Babylon that I have built. See, I have built by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty. But as Nebuchadnezzar's experience would prove, the pathway of pride is the fastest, hear me out, it's the fastest way to self-destruction. If you know anybody that self-destruct, most of the time their pride got in the way. Most of the time their pride stood up first. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for what you've already done and what you're doing. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Now, we're talking about prayer. We're talking about different kinds of prayer. And the title, if you didn't get it, is Praying Will Keep You from Straying. Amen. Glory to God. Go with me to the book of John, 1 John. Hallelujah. Go with me to the book of 1 John, and we're going to start at verse 1. Amen. Like I said, please have your pencils, paper. Write this stuff down if you want to share it with someone, if you want to keep it for yourself. I mean, God has not given us this kind of, you know, the scripture says we perish for lack of knowledge. Right now, we have no excuse. Right now, we have no excuse. If we received this message, if we heard this message, we have no excuse. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, we pray. You know, we pray in secret. We pray with our families. But there's different parts of prayer. And one of the parts of prayer is confession. One of the parts of prayer is confession. I mean, there are many parts. Don't get me right. We just got finished talking about the adoration. We're going to talk about now confession. But there's supplication. There's intercessory prayer. There's thanksgiving prayer. Purity of the heart. We have some work ahead of us, y'all. Please set your mind, hearts, and spirit to this, to receive this. And whatever we can get from this, whatever God allows us to get this, please get this information, because genuine, it is sincere, and it is real. Amen. Hallelujah. It is real. Chapter 1, and I'm going to start at verse 9. If we confess our sins, we is faithful and just to forgive us. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember that, because everyone sins. And those who say they don't, or those who say they never have, or those who say they never sin, they reveal two things to me. Either they're ignorance or pride. And they're only, to me, demonstrating they do not belong to Christ. Because acknowledging the truth of the gospel is not enough. People must also confess their sins and walk in the light. I know you don't believe me. So what I would like for you to do, if you have the time, go with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 32. Hallelujah. I like to keep it about the Bible. I like to keep it about the Bible. Hallelujah. So I'm not one to believe some of it and don't believe all of it. So if that's where we're coming from, chapter 32 and verse 5 says, "For you are my strength, into your hand I commit my what? Spirit. You have redeemed me, O God, of truth. O God, O Lord God of truth, you have redeemed me." He is a redeemer. We know confession is a. I was always told when you confess that cleanse your soul. Confession cleanses your soul. And the Bible just opened that for me, because I want to confess everything to God for one reason and one reason only. He already know. He already know. So I don't really have to worry about that. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's talk about supplication. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Father, and Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. Because these verses summarize like the main purpose of the entire letter, although Paul writes this letter to, it seems like an individual, writes this letter to Timothy, his true son in the faith, he expects it to be read to the whole church. Now, we're talking about supplication. Hallelujah. We're talking about supplication. So what I would like to do, if it's okay, once again, go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 4. Hallelujah. I won't be with you long because we have so much to catch up on, and we will try our best. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Everywhere in every church. Paul switches from a tone of severity to one of pleading as the spiritual father. I have begotten you through the gospel. He reminds the Corinthians of how they entered into God's family by a humble profession of faith, admitting that they were sinners in need of God. We are sinners in need of God. We are sinners in need of deliverance. We are sinners in need of humility, because humility is a thing of salvation. Amen. And when we are praying, we have to pray with such a humility. We have to pray with such supplication. We have to really, really get into this with a sincerity. Our prayer life becomes like drinking water. We have to drink water to stay alive. We have to drink water to stay alive. And our prayer life should be like drinking water. I want to stay alive. I want to live righteous. I want to confess my sins unto the Lord. I want to have a private place that I can go in and talk to God about everything and just open up and sincerely pray and have a conversation with my Father, because he knows all things about me already. But I need this of communication. I need to start adding in this 24 hours that he allowed me to have. I need to spend a little more time, a little more of that 24 hours with him and get a rest to whatever else. I'm giving 8 to the job. I don't know if you're married, you got family, you got other obligations, but please add time from this. And the best way I tell people is when you first get up in the morning and before you close your eyes at night, please get some time to the Lord. If you just had to sit and meditate, go to your spot, go to your place, go to your secret closet, go there and spend time with the Lord. Amen. Please add this to your life. Hallelujah. Go with me to the book of James, chapter 5 and 15. Hallelujah. Please don't just take these as words. Take them as some advice from a young man who's trying to do his best to live right also, and he's trusting in God, and he's listening and getting instructions to give to God's people, not his, but at the same time, he wants no man to go to hell. Amen. Hallelujah. No man. God wants none of us to die and burn. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 5 and 15. Now, we're going to read this, and to me, I like to look at this like you know, like somebody with special needs who there's certain things they can't do, so they need people to help them. When you're in rehab and rehabilitation and, you know, your legs are, you know, messed up, your knee or something, there's someone there to help you get around. They're helping you to strengthen your legs back up. They're helping you to strengthen your arms back up, whatever it may be. They're helping you to rehabilitate yourself back to good health. And this is what I think the intercessor prayer is really about, the going in the gap for somebody, either not knowing you're going in the gap for them and helping them to be better because they either don't have a prayer life, don't believe, or God laid it on your heart to pray for them, or he showed you them in a vision, he showed you them in a dream, however God talks to you. When we're doing intercessory prayer, we have to be so focused. We have to be so focused to hear and see, thus saith the Lord. Because God, most of the time, people who intercede, they mostly time intercede for their family or their family and family members of their church or people they work with. You know, when the petitions come and how God lays it on our heart, though that is the way most of the time that we pray. Amen. For intercessory prayer. Hallelujah. I'm going to read this scripture. We're going to talk about it a little bit, and then we're going to play a song because I didn't know I was this late, and I apologize. Amen. I'm just going to start at verse 13. If anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed of your sin. And that's what the healing is, healed of your sin. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. My wife says that all. She says that all the time. She says that all the time. She says that all the time. You know, most praying people, most of their scriptures they learn is about prayer. Not to say they don't know other scriptures, but oh, they know them praying scriptures. They'll tell you what prayer do for you. They'll tell you how prayer help you. They'll tell you how prayer free you. They'll tell you how prayer get you closer to God. They'll tell you how prayer break yokes. They'll tell you how prayer keep the devil away from you. And that's a great thing. And believe me, that is a great, great thing to have. Amen. Because when anyone faces hardship and stress, the answer is to pray. Failure to pray cuts the believer off from God's power, leading to even greater distress. Praising God in song, you worshipers and songstress and people can sing. Listen, the Bible says praising God in song is almost a form of prayer. Praying God is just as important as praying to God. You hear me? Praising God in song is also a form of prayer. Praising God is just as important as praying to God. Now, I'm just going to read this one scripture to you. Just to verify, because I like to say it's Bible. I like to say it's Bible. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to Psalms 50, verse 15. And I'm going to start at 12. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the word is mine and all is fulfillment. Will I eat the flesh of the bulls or drink the blood of a goat? Offer to God thanksgiving and pray your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. You can glorify God in song. You can glorify God. Listen, he just gave us permission. You can sing your prayers. Some of y'all can sing your way out of a breakthrough. You can sing your way out of poverty. You can praise your way out of hardship. You can praise your way out of anything. The Bible just let us know that. The sick are healed not by the elders' power, nor their faith, nor the anointing oil, but by the Lord's intervention. Because you did it the way God said do it, it's an intervention. I got you. If you just let them do it, take it to them, let them pray for you, let them pray you with the oil, I got you. But see, our hearts have to be right in the midst of all this. Our hearts has to be right. It says the sick are not healed, not by the elders' power, nor their faith, nor the anointing oil, but by the Lord's intervention, either through indirect means, medical treatment, y'all, when you're supposed to go to the doctor, please go, or his supernatural healing. Because guess what? Oil is widely believed to have medicine in it. It is widely believed that it has a medical value in the Bible times. I know I'm just going to read this scripture, the book of Isaiah. I'm going to go to the book of Isaiah because I don't want you to think I'm just making stuff up. It was used. I'm going to go right to Isaiah real quick. And then I promise you, I'm going to give you. I might not even have time for a song, but we can talk about prayer. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 1. Hallelujah. Verse 6 says what? From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises are purifying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. You see that? That oil, get that oil, pray over your oil, ask God to turn it into a healing oil, a delivering oil. If you have to get a variety, tell the Lord, make this an everything oil. When I present it, when I use it, it does just what you manifested to do in Jesus' name. Father, I bring this oil to you, asking your holiness to anoint my oil to heal those that are sick, to deliver those that are lost. I ask you to anoint my oil, Father God. This oil, I present medicine to heal the sick. I present this oil to you, medicine to deliver those that are lost. I openly come to you, trusting and believing it is going to be done, and know it's done, and believe it, and use it as so as it is done. Listen. We have so much these next few Mondays. Please, let's eat this up. Let's take this meat off the bone while we are still able to eat. And God is allowing us to eat, because when there's going to come a time of fasting, there's going to come a time of lack. And we're going to need these same words, these same scriptures, this same anointing, this same power to get us through. Please read your Bibles on a daily. Spend time with God. Make time. Believe me, that scripture, the devil is going from and fro, seeking to see who he can kill and destroy, is a true statement. It is not no fake thing. Like, the enemy is he's going right now, looking back and forth, seeking who he can destroy, back and forth. And if we don't have this word to fight the enemy, if we don't have this understanding and this connection and this God's word to help us, we're going to be in trouble. Really, people, please, if you do nothing else, understand that we're in always a spiritual battle. always. It may not seem like even when things going good, we got to be careful of the traps that the enemy may try to set up. Amen. We got to be so careful. We have to be. So how do we do that? What do we do? How do we do that? Well, I'm going to tell you what I was taught in Reign of Glory Revival Ministry. This is what I was taught. Go with me to the book of Ephesians. And I promise we're going to close. This is what I was taught. Because especially when you have a prayer life and you're praying for other people and you're trying your best to live right and you're trying to do everything that God told you to do, you have to remember. If you don't remember nothing else, you have to remember when you get up and get finished praying, when you get finished saying thank you to the Lord, when you get finished just spending that time with God like you spend with him, when you get finished that, this is what we are to be doing. I'm telling you, I learned this, and I believe it, and I'm a firm believer in it. So please go with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Some people may say, what does it have to do with prayer? It's preparation. Because sometimes you can be caught up in your prayer closet or somewhere praying, and the enemy will come attack your mind. The enemy will come attack your body. The enemy, if you ain't strong in the spirit, the enemy will put you to sleep. You ain't said a word. You get all of a sudden, now your arthritis bothering you and caught a cramp in your neck. All of a sudden, you're feeling dizzy. You got to get up. Distractions. Everybody making noise. That's why you got to find that secret place. That's why you got to find that place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But we got to remember, y'all, chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in what? The Lord. And in the power of what? His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be what? Able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, of this time, right now. Against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Even in the spirit realm, they're lurking with wickedness. Even in the spirit realm, we have to be prepared, even in our prayer time. Therefore, take up the whole arm of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand, stand there, for having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking in the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Read it, study it, get in it, eat it, eat it, eat it, eat it. Praying always with the prayer of supplication and the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We have to pray one for another and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. Spiritual warfare is for real. It requires spiritual weapons. And God has given us as Christians everything we need to remain strong in the Lord. Everything. Everything. Can I just read a couple things before we got time? Let me show you how prepared we have. People often think of war as glamorous until they are, or someone they know, becomes casual to the same true and spiritual arena. Spiritual warfare seems to be a popular subject for movies, books, but many believers are casualties of Satan's schemes. Listen up. Make no mistake, whether they are aware of it or not, all Christians are engaged in a very real spiritual battle between two opposing kingdoms, and those less in the know are often the first casualties. But thankfully, Paul provides believers with a self-defense course. We just went into the battlefield. In Ephesians 6, and Jesus equips us with all six dimensions of our spiritual armor. He is our truth, our righteousness, our peace, the object of our faith, the source of our salvation, and the living word of God. When we put on Jesus Christ, and I got scripture, but we're not going to go into that right now. I'm just trying to explain how prayer and spiritual warfare go hand in hand, because we are protected by the only person Satan has never defeated. And that is the blessing in itself. We are protected by the only person Satan has never defeated. So as we use and start using the armor, God, we are that blessed place. Listen, I don't like to rush. I'm killing time here. Forgive me. I'll continue this next week because I know people have things to do, and I know we're here for an hour. So please, please, if you didn't tune in this week, find somebody, tell somebody about it. And if you did tune in, please tune in next week with us to continue getting this information, because this information will either save our lives, our family lives, our friends' lives. It will help us be prepared for anything. Remember, Satan, we are protected by the only person that Satan has never defeated. This has been Rise and Grind for Jesus, and I've been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. I hope the word fell on fertile ground, and I hope someone got something out of this, and I thank God for the opportunity to come before his people. So as we close, I'll close with prayer, and until next time, may the blessings of the Lord be upon you, your family, your ministries, and all that you love. Father God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your cooperation. We thank you for keeping the airways open. We thank you for keeping the enemy at bay while we come together to do your work. Now, Father, as we continue on our day, Father, let us give you praise, honor, and worship you. Let us give thanks unto you, because without you, Father, nothing is possible. We ask you to bless our family, our friends, bless the nation in battle, out of battle, bless the leaders of every nation, Father, those who are lost, those who are saved. Father, we just ask you to blow your wind upon this universe, Father, and have your way upon this universe. Move mightily in the schools, Father. Protect the students, protect the children, God, in the schools, in the everyday may be, Father. Have your way, God. Touch the hearts of every leader and lead them back to you, and lead to take this world back to you, God. And let prayer be the thing that get us back as one accord unto you. Until next time, I love you and I praise you. Bless all our listeners, bless their families, and bless them. So until next time, we thank you. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Hallelujah. We're going to end this with a song.
Hello? Am I on? Okay, go. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming tonight. I got a young man I wanted to introduce you to. We call him Ike Knight. Oh, yeah. I'm a music major.
Like it's about to shade. watching. I can't hear y'all clapping.
God bless and good night.